The big problem today is that we know about God, but we don't know him. We know about him, but we don't know him. And God's whole intention was to have fellowship with us by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is to do, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Like we say, Lord, Lord, in your name I've done A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And God says, I don't know you. I know about you the same way as you know about me. I'll never forget one well-known rugby Springbok. He was at his alma mater, the great college, and he was giving a bit of testimony. And he confessed to the school that he'd spent most of his Christian life 18 inches away from God. And the people looked at him, the schoolboys looked at him quizzically. 18 inches. And he said, yes, that's the distance from my head to my heart. It was just head knowledge. It was just head knowledge, not heart knowledge. It needed to drop from my head to my heart. If you go to Jerusalem today, you know, whether you bump into a Jew or a Muslim or a Christian or an atheist, they all know about Jesus. They do. They'll tell you about Jesus. But very few call him Lord. And that's the problem. Lord is a very strong word. The Lord Jesus Christ. Very few call him Lord. Modern doctrine, I think we're all happy to have a savior, but very few of us want a Lord. You see, we're not saved by an office or a work, says A.W. Tozer. You see, you can believe, agree, acknowledge. But Easter and what happened at Easter has absolutely no effect on you, except that you make a decision of the will. You give up your independent right to yourself. It's a massive, massive decision. Paul emphasizes the problem. 1 Peter 1:2, he says, we have been chosen for the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. And verses 13 to 15 then stress, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled as obedient children, be holy. If you love me, you do as I say. If you love me, you do as I say. So said Jesus. And that's the essence. The essence of a human being is his will. And the essence of sin is the rebellion of that will, refusing to submit that will to God. It was the downfall of the human race was one man's disobedience. Thanks to Adam, we became the Adamic race. And the world we live in, all of us, we became children of disobedience. And as we became children of this disobedience, the devil became the god of this age, a sort of antichrist. The spirit of lawlessness, rebellion, and disobedience started to prevail with more and more power by the day. Submission to any sort of authority, the human being hates that. It's the biggest problem for the I, me, and myself in each one of us. The rebellious spirit in each of us knocks out most things, and it particularly has a devastating effect on your Christian witness and marriage. The rebellious spirit, I, me, and myself, is all about me. That's why you've got to die to self. That's why you've got to go to the cross. You have to crucify self. You have to bury that ego. You see, sin is disobedience. It's rebellion against God. And repentance is the only key. You have to acknowledge sin and you have to turn 180 degrees. The doctrine of love and grace doesn't help anybody. You know, often I go around and I say, you know, you can go around the world telling everyone that God loves them. It makes no difference to their life whatsoever. All it does is merely confirms their egotism. It really does do that. It doesn't change anybody just to tell them that God loves them. The kingdom of God is a place of total surrender. Your will to God's will. Jesus said, "Thy will, not mine," as he surrendered Calvary, where the kingdom was established. It was established in obedience. There's no savior without a Lord. We might think that he's a savior, but he cannot truly be a savior unless he's a Lord. In modernism, we sort of fix me up, Lord, so that I can continue in my rebellious way. That is really what we're saying. God is not in the business of fixing up the devil's playground in our lives. Obedience, holiness is separation unto God to a life of obedience. You choose to become a slave of righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be added unto you. Doers, not just hearers of the word, James 1, 22 to 25. We need to be, as I once was involved with the promise keepers, we need to be promise keepers, not promise makers and promise breakers. God's word will always stand, even if an amoral, postmodern world doesn't care or want to listen, because God hates sin, because it separates us from him. God's code of conduct is based on love and healthy fear. A fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The Spirit writes the law on our hearts. I mean, a book like Deuteronomy is spiritual food and power. Jesus used it against Satan. He quoted from it. So the conscience is quickened and made more sensitive by the Holy Spirit when you get born again. That's sanctification. Feeding the spiritual computer with God's mind, but we don't want to listen. I remember many years ago, when I just after I'd got saved, I really felt God say to me that I had to give up drinking, but I fought the issue. I looked in the Bible and saw that he turned the water into wine, and I was pleased about that. He said to Paul, wrote to Timothy and told him to have a little wine with a meal. I thought that was great. And it wasn't what you ate or drank, but the circumcision of your heart. And, you know, I took all those sort of scriptures and fiddled around in my disobedience. I didn't want to. I even made deals with God. I thought I made deals with God. You can't make deals with God. But there's a cost. It's a cost. It cost me my best friend. It cost me my brother. But finally, I had to give up. I had to give up. It ended up in a form of deliverance before a cross in a church. But it was a powerful testimony in my life. But it required obedience. Jesus requires obedience. So often we talk about working through something, where someone says, well, you say, you know, the Bible says that. And he says, yo, no, I know the Bible says that, but I'm working through it. Do you know what you're working through? You're working through nothing but disobedience. That's all. What God says is a command. It's not a request. God speaks to you. When God speaks, you know that you know that that's the truth. And when God speaks, it's obedience that establishes faith, not merit. If you believe, you will listen and you will do it. But familiarity has bred passivity. A sort of contempt of court is rife in our relationships. Fruits of disobedience. And the fruits of this disobedience are that there are hard hearts in the church of God. Yes, I'm sorry to say that. There are hard hearts in the church of God. All because there is disobedience. If you love me, you will do as I say. And you know what the hard hearts are? Not atheists and unbelievers, but they are in fact listeners who refused to become doers. The hard hearts are not atheists and unbelievers, but they are the listeners who refuse to become doers. And sadly, the church is full of these people. They know about, but they do not know. They are listeners, but they are not doers. There's no fruit. Jesus cursed the fig tree. Why? Because it was all foliage and no fruit. It was all foliage and no fruit. You see, it's possible to love hearing God's word, even appreciate and approve it, and yet grow incurably hard while listening. It's possible to love hearing God's word, even appreciate and approve it, and yet grow incurably hard while listening. Did you come to Jesus only for what he could do for you? You cannot just come to get relief on your own terms. You will never grow an inch spiritually. You will only grow hard. You will never grow an inch. You will only grow hard. If you came to Jesus only for what he could do for you, if you came to Jesus just to get some relief from some problem or some sin, but on your own terms, it just does not work.